You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to an emerged edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. We thought we'd be off today, but we are not. As always, I'm Adam Friedman, one of the hosts of this lovely podcast. Join me on it for a special, I guess, Monday evening, Tuesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast is Mr. Tony East. Tony, we thought we had a day off, but we don't.
You rushed through that intro so fast.
I know. I'm exhausted right now. It is late. I did not think we'd be working today.
I know,
but we are. But we're doing it for everybody else out there.
Yeah. So we both said yesterday we thought it was unlikely that this would happen. And then I went on Schultz and Query, and I said, I think it's unlikely that it happens. And while I said that, it happened. So I'm an idiot.
I did say when we were off air, we're going to talk about this thing for 3 hours, and then we're going to come, you know, Tuesday at 7 is going to be signed. Or Tuesday.
This is why we posted that pod a day early, just in case this happened. But anyway, we beat around the bush. Sabonis, Domantas Sabonis, and the Indiana Pacers have agreed to a contract extension. So all the report leaking and PR speak or whatever you want to call it, either worked or was effective in the negotiation process. Some unclear figures between various reporters on the exact numbers of the deal. I'm sure we'll find out in the next couple of days. But I believe Shams Charania has it as $74.9-ish million in base guaranteed salary, with $10.4 million in incentives, so just about $85 million total. And then Tim Bontemps of ESPN, with the additional caveat that those bonuses are based on if he makes an All-Star or All-NBA team in a season, he will get an extra $2.4 million.
So it's probably a 4 for $75 million deal.
About 4 for $75 million. Yeah, and here's the thing, Adam. So I'm going to start by spilling a little bit of beans. Not really, but anyway. If the contract, the highest he could possibly make in one season would be a little over $21 million. If the contract is back, actually it's exactly $21 million. If the contract is front-loaded with full declines of 8% every year. And if he makes the All-Star team that season, he'd make $23.4 million. So that would mean, $23.6 million. So that means the most Sabonis can make in any season is $23.6 million, and that's if he's an All-Star. And you'll gladly pay $23.6 million for an All-Star, right?
Yeah, and he'd be the highest paid Pacer on the team then.
Yes, he would if he got it. If that number 21 million is correct, that's exactly what Oladipo makes and not a penny more. And that's the highest he can possibly make in a season in the first season. And I don't know how they structured it yet. I'm sure we'll find out soon. But if they structure it backloaded, it never gets to 21 million. So 21 million in the first year is the highest it could be, but we don't know yet.
What do you think it is, front or backload?
So we can talk, we'll talk about the actual ramifications for the Pacers in a second, but I actually don't know because it doesn't matter next season. They have no cap space anyway. They are over the cap next summer, actually. And the year after, that is the Vic summer. So all the
extra space is gone.
Yeah, they'll be under the cap, but all the extra space goes to Vic. So
with his cap hold, they'll be over the cap.
With his cap hold, they're actually under, barely.
Well, also, your projections for the cap in that year could be off. Just
yes, that's true.
I know it's happening in China still.
Right. I'm going off of what the NBA has given us as projections. Those could definitely change. So it's unlike once they signed Vic, they're out of cap. So it is unlikely that they actually have room until 2023 summer, actually maybe even beyond that.
I think so it's fair to say
it doesn't matter.
They probably won't have room at least the next two seasons, and they probably won't have room assuming things are going well for the next 4 to 5, right? Because Turner comes up for an extension in that – range too, because year ahead of sponsor than Turner.
Goga, then, Holiday, exactly. All those guys.
There's like 30 factors. If one of Leaf or Lamb is good enough to get re-signed or whatnot, there's so many moving parts in that kind of deal that you just assume from now on they will not be in cap. They won't have any cap space basically moving forward. Maybe except maybe $3-4 million here. They'll be using MLE, and then so that's.
So I say all that to say it doesn't really matter how they structure it because it's basically just shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic, right? You're not gaining.
Well, okay, it's on the Titanic because they're sinking the ship isn't sinking yet. But
shuffling the deck chairs on a nice Carnival cruise.
Well, I know you don't watch so Succession, but on the whatever yacht they had in that.
Wow, you're the second person to tell me about this show. Apparently, it's amazing.
Well, you don't watch it because you don't watch TV that much. Know you. You're watching like Triple D last time I saw you.
That's a great show.
It is a great show, but I mean that's just
so Guy Fieri. So it doesn't really matter how it's structured because it won't get them cap space they wouldn't already have had. So I actually think it might just be a flat deal like Turner's is. You know, he gets the $18 million or $17.5 million or whatever per year. So it could just be $19.25 million each season, which is fine. Okay.
It's such a
minor difference that it doesn't really matter.
Anyway. It'd be 18.75 unless it goes up to
you're right.
Incentives. I don't know how. I mean, obviously, right? He has to make an All-Star team for then his future incentives to become likely, right?
Yes.
So, like, if he makes the All-Star team this year, then his cap number will be higher the next three because it'll be considered a likely bonus. But for now, they're not likely. But
yes,
it didn't happen to Turner as well. But at this point, like you said, they're over the cap, so them having a million or a couple more million over the cap not a big deal because they're going to be right around the cap range, so they'll still have the full MLE. Because they're not going to be like...
Oh, the full MLE and the biannual exception next summer. So not... Yeah, and they would have had those anyway. So it's not like this does anything there.
Well, the only way they don't have the full MLE is if they're like $12 million over the cap. Because then they can't
extend. Yeah, they're close to the tax. They don't have it, but they're not.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is the numbers. And I am surprised that it's that close to that $72 million number that was reported to be a non-starter. But other than that, I don't think there's any surprises. And I think... the incentives are actually like the perfect bridge of the language that we had, right? Because, Buddy Hield got him, and that was made me think about this. But, Sabonis clearly thinks he deserves more money, and the Pacers didn't at first. So why didn't they just say, okay, you know what? Here's some incentives that if you show you're as good as you say you are, you'll get the money you think you deserve. And I think they bridge that gap with incentives perfectly.
So Buddy Hield got, what, 4 for $94 roughly?
Yeah, with incentives as well, but his are not tied to All-Star games. I believe his are tied to three-point percentage.
Yeah, I think it was top 10, 34 percentage. So, and then Jaylen Brown got 4 for $115 million. So Sabonis
got the lowest of the three.
Of the big combo, which makes sense. He's probably of the three guys, the guy who's had the lowest peak so far, right? I mean, I don't know what his ceiling is per se, but so far, I mean, I think Brown has been.
But if he's an All-Star, suddenly he is close to the best of those three, and he's getting paid the lead either way.
I mean, Buddy Hield didn't make an All-Star game because he's playing in the West.
Right. But I do like him hedging his bets and saying, you know what? If I'm as good as I say I am, I'll get paid how I think I should. And if I'm not, and they're right, okay, fine.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the whatever turn number might have been a non-starter, but you look at next year's team with actually cap space to sign him, and there's very few teams, like we talked about before, that can go after and actually give him an offer sheet that like even be matched. We'd be willing to do that. So then you're looking at kind of a Clint Capela situation where it definitely is worth a certain amount of money, but you control all the cards and situation. So to me, it's kind of him saying, you know what, $75 million is a lot of money. I wish I had 90 to 100, but I could take 75 for now. And like I said, he's young enough where he'll get another big free agent deal when the salary cap is probably $130, $140 million. Mm-hmm. So then if he's really good, he'll get his max deal then, and he'll be making $150 over 4 or 5 years then. So,
yeah. Exactly. So I think it's good they found that bridge and we're able to come to an agreement. Now we enter the season with no chemistry issues, no animosity. And it seemed like, Domas was still happy with his teammates and things like that. But now there's just nothing overhanging the team. And that was literally the last button on the offseason. So, Adam, were you surprised when you saw it? I sure was.
You know what? Let's take a quick break and then I'll tell you what I'm surprised about and talk about why I think the contract has some trade value. All right, so I wasn't really that surprised.
I was.
I think I told you I thought at the end of the day they'd come together. It just makes too much sense not to get this. If he was going to accept a number that was reasonable, right? I think if he's going to sit on his principle and say, I want $100 million range, 110, let's say, even that high, then they're going to get it done. But I always thought at the end of the day, Sabonis is going to kind of come down. There's a culture in Indiana of what? Kind of a team culture and an understanding between what it was in was it Abrams Bleacher Report article where it was like basically Pritchard will tell you if you're going to be traded and whatnot and give you a heads up and just like it's understanding that like it is a player's first team but they're And but the team may not like pay you like a player first player, but they'll be honest with you and up front about what's going on, so they give you kind of the trust.
Right.
So I think when I think some of the rumors about him going to be the trade things were probably them checking back in on the Jaylen Brown option, because that was kind of the only one out there, maybe Brandon Ingram at the same time, and two, or were old rumors. And I think ultimately, like you said, it probably was his own camp kind of pushing out there to get the Pacers to get to a point. And maybe the Pacers were actually maybe at more like the 65-70 range when they were talking, and they came up a little bit more, and they spoke to his team was like, let's take this because they think he's going to succeed this year and put him in the right roster. So, you know, why not just get rid of this kind of thing over his head?
Yeah, I'm just surprised because Sabonis is coming Saturday saying, you know, I know how they feel about me now, and that maybe I was wrong to assume this, but my assumption was that meant he was unhappy with the offer and he felt like they were saying you're only this good. And he said, oh, that's how they feel about me. Maybe that they were in trade talks at that time and they told him, like the article said they do. And he said, that's how you feel about me. You're willing to trade me this close to the season. I don't know what that meant, but it sure seems to be that they were far apart in whatever they were not on the same page at the time. And to me, that just, I felt like meant they weren't going to get something done. And I was very unconfident. I think I put it at 10% in my only reply to someone on Twitter where I actually stated how I thought it would get done. And then it did, so I know nothing. But I was pretty caught off guard. So I applaud both sides for being able to find the right compromise to get this done.
I knew wonder though if his comments were almost reactionary versus like actually knowing the situation. So he almost heard it and then he responded, and then maybe he went back and talked to agents and they realized, oh, the rumors were old rumors, or they are coming close to the table. I mean, I don't really know what Sabonis wanted in the negotiation. Clearly, this is what he wanted.
I genuinely think he likes it here and likes his teammates, right? So I just think they had to iron out some kinks or whatever the heck.
Yeah, and I think with him, too, it's almost less about the money and more about the role, too. I think he wants a role as a starting player. Right. I think he believes he can be an all-star, which he might be able to be one someday. For sure, I mean, if you look at his talent after the sophomore game, what was it, 2 years ago he played in that sophomore all-star game kind of thing? He thinks he can be back at that level at some point. He thought he could be back at that for All-Star weekend as an actual All-Star. So,
yeah, maybe he can.
And I think he sees an opportunity in the Pacers. I think, you know, we'll see what happens with the Turner-Sabonis pairing, but it could be the right zags. Everybody's zigging one way in the NBA. I mean, this is going to be definitely a different year than the league because the same team has dominated for the basically past half decade is no longer the dominant team. And the way teams are built is going to be a little differently. You know, everybody was trying to chase the Warriors and building the way they built. And I don't know, maybe at some point, you know, you kind of got to zag. I mean, if 2014 told me the Warriors were going to be the best team in the next 5 years, nobody would have said that. So,
right.
I mean, yeah, not going to be that, but it's an opportunity where if this Sabonis turns out to be a really good fit and kind of defies the odds, then they might be able to really ride this something like great.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing to talk about is the Sabonis-Turner pairing. I think finally this signals the confidence that the Pacers have spoken in it. This is the investment in it. Okay, this is for sure, because it's impossible basically to trade Sabonis this season now because of the poison pill provision. This is for sure one season of let's try this experiment. And I know you want to talk about trades. I don't know that I have thought about that yet, but –
This is a keeping the asset kind of contract.
This is finally, I don't know about that. I think this is finally, because of its length and the length of long deals they've given other guys, I think this is finally an investment, and this is the core we believe in. And if the experiment doesn't work, then they can trade it or Turner or whoever. But I think this was about, okay, you're a part of this core. We've talked about it. We know you're there. Let's get this done and keep this thing together. Mm.
I mean, I see it as classic small market. We can keep the asset. Why would we lose a very good player or get in this huge argument when we could just sign him to a contract that is really good? And, you know, it's hard to get players here anyways. And then at worst case scenario, in 2 years, it blows up. We can trade him for something because he's not going to be like that bad. I mean,
if it blows up, sure. But I don't think that is the reason that they do this, is like to trade him in 2 years if this blows up.
No. I don't think it's the reason they do it, but I think it's simple calculation of like, okay, we think it could work. Let's say you put it 50-50, it works. But in the other 30 or 3 of 5 scenarios left, he ends up being good enough where you can trade him and it's an asset and keep the asset, right? I mean, that's just That's sure. just kind of the game, especially in the small market. It's about keeping the assets. You can't just let a guy's bonus walk. I mean,
right.
You basically traded your franchise player at a time to get it, to build up, get Sabonis and Oladipo. And the idea was, and it both turned out to be good, you're probably actually going to win the trade. I mean, hindsight, they probably won the trade because he's no longer in Oklahoma City and they got the, I don't know what they traded to, like 10 assets. So who the hell knows? They had the day they won that trade or not, but that's the idea. And you just can't let a guy of his talent, who's clearly a starter level player in this league, whether it's on the Pacers or some other team, just walk for nothing. Not that they don't have to do that, but now they got him on a deal that's even more reasonable. He turns out to be even just happy. As good as he, I mean, he, as good as he was last year, the deal probably is worth it currently.
It's pretty close, yeah.
And honestly, if it doesn't work, they could pick one or one of Turner's bonus. And they can, like we've always talked about, an $18 million deal with a $10 million land contract and a $7 million McDermott contract gets you to a max player just like that.
Yeah.
Now, the three guys who you could see replacing, if Goga steps up, you could put the center role on the backup, the bench, you could easily find a guy to play that kind of backup guard, and then whoever you get is your kind of other replacement.
Yeah, I mean, I think the exceptions next summer will be very interesting because they already have basically the same roster the next 2 years, now that this is done.
I mean, it's pretty much the same thing they did the past 2 years, right? I guess they had options on
Bojan. Yeah, they brought in, like, Tyreek and KOQ. Like, they can't do that even.
Well, they could bring in somebody on the mid-level.
Right. But, like, they have, like, 12 returning guys, which they did not have that summer.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, but they also have a core they didn't have 2 summers ago,
that's
right?
That's what I'm saying. That's why the MLE is weird. I think they'll split it up instead.
But, I mean, I think they're really committed to the Sabonis, Turner, Oladipo, I guess now Brogdon core. That's the four.
Yes, I agree.
Everybody else is probably, depending on where they end up, is probably tradable or movable at any point.
Yes, agreed. So good. Agreed.
I guess the only other thing I was thinking of is this deal now wipes out the Brown for Sabonis possibility, right?
This season, I believe it does.
Well, they flip for each other theoretically still, but I mean,
no, because Brown's salary is so much higher than Sabonis is this year. I don't think you can.
I don't know how that works, to be honest.
Yeah, poison pill's confusing, but because their salaries aren't close enough this year, I don't think you can do it.
Okay. And I mean, I think the only guy we didn't mention when we talked about who he could be traded for was Brandon Ingram, but I think
he didn't get an extension, so not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get traded. There's no chance he gets traded this year. It's just basically impossible.
Yeah.
They probably have a full season of riding out the experiment.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes, I guess. I really don't have a good feeling. We'll do it at the first game. We talked about a little season preview, whatever, but like, I don't have a great feeling for this team right now.
Like, you feel like it's going to go poorly?
No. I mean,
You don't have an idea of how it's going to go, is what you mean.
I just don't really have any idea how it goes. I mean, I think some things could happen to go well, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know how well the chemistry is going to go to start the season. I mean, if it's going to, you know, it takes time to develop guys who basically four guys who didn't start last year starting for this team. I mean,
yeah, we'll see. But I think Sabonis getting this deal done will help with chemistry for sure.
I think that definitely gets rid of one thing. I mean, this team last year had, what, 8 guys getting into free agency in their last deal, basically, or something going ridiculous like that, and they still managed to win 48 games. So I think there is a good culture in the locker room, but definitely be interesting. And so,
All right. I think we got it all. I think we covered all this stuff. They got ahead of restricted free agency, so no tough offer sheets next summer. They kept the core together. They invested. They backed up their words. I think they did everything that they set out to do, whether or not it was the right move. We'll see how the experiment works, but I think the Pacers and Sabonis both accomplished their goals.
Yeah, so what are you doing for Wednesday's show?
Wednesday, already recorded me and Lazarus Jackson talking Pacers Pistons. And he's a Pistons writer, so get prepared. He's plugged in over there.
Then I would say Wednesday night about probably 11 Eastern time, you can expect a show from Tony and I after the first game. We'll probably get that right away just because. But obviously, if you're going to bed at a decent hour after the game, you can catch it in your Thursday feed. We'll do our annual overreactions to game one. So
quick ending plug from me. We started the Fieldhouse today officially.
Congratulations. Pacers, that was a nice
new
job.
New Pacers site. It's exciting. It looks awesome. Check it out. It's the-fieldhouse.com.
Yeah. You can follow this podcast at Locked On Pacers. You can obviously follow Tony at Teased NBA, me at FreedomAdam5. As always, you can catch all your other you guys locked on a national NBA show, which we have one of those. That's a pretty good show for all your national NBA news. If you're another NBA fan of another team, you can check that out. If you're a Colts fan, which is, I assume some of you out there are, since you look at the Pacers podcast, there's a Locked On Colts out there. Always good to listen to that one. Colts are obviously rolling, so that's probably a pretty fun podcast right now, I would presume. That's all for the Locked On Pacers podcast. Of course, we'll see you guys again tomorrow.